Honestly, how would you answer it? Here we go from our annual reading plan, Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. Matthew, by the way, how's it coming with that annual reading plan? Are you staying up with it? Are you, you know, it's a decent pace this time, right? You could stay with it. Okay, good. Keep going. And if you've fallen behind, it doesn't take long to catch up. Just do it. Just keep coming on. Just read 2 days per day. It's short. You can do it, and you'll catch up. So here we go, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. A lot of interesting stuff going on here. We can't get into all of it, but the way this starts out just makes me think of those moments in class, you know, where the teacher asks a question. And then you've got these hands going up. And it's, I got it. I mean, first James and John, you know, you can imagine sons of thunder there. I mean, I got James. "Who do you say that I am?" "Some say John the Baptist, come back from the dead." "Okay, John, who do you say that I am?" "Elijah." I'm sorry, I got that wrong, didn't I? "Who do they say that I am? Who do people say that I am?" is what the question is. "Some say Elijah, or one of the prophets." And Jesus turns to Nathanael, and Nathanael has his hand up in the back. "Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And Jesus nods, "But what about you? Each of you, who do you say that I am?" And I think at that moment, his eyes fall on Peter because he knows what's happening in Peter's soul. He can see it on his face. And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter says, "You are," and Jesus says, "You are blessed. You are blessed, Peter, because this wasn't revealed to you by what other people think. This was revealed to you by my Father in heaven." That's a moment. That's a moment. "This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Now, when you look at this passage, you have to understand the context. This is one of those places where it's happening matters a great deal. They're in Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi was a pagan place. How pagan was it? It was originally called Panea, named for Pan, right? Or Pan. So who's Pan? Well, he's a Roman god of fertility. Think Bacchus, but turn it up several notches, because Bacchus was just part of Pan's pantheon. And there in Caesarea Philippi is this pagan temple. It's a fertility cult. And there's this cave that goes into the depths of earth that was sometimes called the Gates of Hades. It was thought to be the gate to the underworld, because the spirits would retreat there, or the gods would go there during the winter. And you can only imagine, Jesus is probably standing right outside that place. See, because Caesarea Philippi then also became named for Caesar Augustus, actually. And Caesar didn't actually claim to be a god, but when people said that he was, he didn't mind too much. And Philip, and who was Philip? Oh, he was one of the sons of Herod. And so this is actually a Jewish location. And you have the adulteration of the culture that has now just gone pagan. And Herod's fine with that. Caesar's fine with that. And Jesus stands in that place, which is just this conflagration of demonic activity. And says, "Who do you say that I am?" Who do you say that he is? You who live and work in the realm of the Ram and the Blue Devil. I jest in part, but we also know the pitfalls of living in a university setting. Blessings, benefits, and also the cult of intellect and self, right? It's all there. And in the middle of that place, who is Jesus to you? Think about your answer. What would you tell him? And as you think about it, remember, you don't have to have your act all together. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to have all of the answers. It's better if you don't, actually. Think about Peter. If you keep on reading here, you may wonder, this brings us to the picture on the front of our bulletin. Now that is not a picture of Jesus saying, "Blessed are you, Peter." Look at the body language. That's Jesus in the white robe. This is done by James Tissot, a French painter. He always painted Peter in black and white. And what's Jesus doing? Get thee behind me. That's the motion right there. Get thee behind me. Well, when does that come? Just a few verses later. Think about that. Peter didn't fully know He was inspired by the Spirit in that particular moment, and he was still Peter. And Jesus still blessed Peter. Even though he didn't fully understand what he was saying, Peter confesses Jesus as the Messiah, then Jesus tells the disciples not to tell anyone, and I think there are two reasons for that. One, so that he won't be made a king by force, and the second is again because the disciples don't fully get it yet, and they won't until after the resurrection. When Jesus starts to talk to them about his death, what does Peter do? Peter takes him aside and rebukes him. Rebukes him. Never. Never, Lord. This will never happen to you. And that's where Jesus turns. And keep in mind where they are and what's going on and has been for a long time in that place. Gates of hell, get behind me, Satan. But I love the fact that Peter can still make this powerful statement and not have it all together and not have all the answers and not be perfect. And how good it is to know Jesus can use us in the very same way. We just need to love him. We need to catch a glimpse of what he has done for us. Do you know that? Do you know that? In your own skin, have you come into that place? Or are you starting to go there? Can if someone were to ask you, who do you say Jesus is? Could you say it? Not just, you know, well, I can give you chapter and verse. I can tell you who Jesus is. Over 3 decades ago, I got in a pranking war with an undercover narcotics officer. Let me explain. He was a member of the church here. And I don't know why I did it. He was a bad dude. He had a Fu Manchu mustache, you know, hair down to his shoulders. Again, undercover, salty vocabulary. He wasn't undercover at church, however. He was a friend. And his wife and mother were both secretaries there in our office. And one day I found some stationery from the church or from the city. And I had his mother-in-law write up a letter for me. See, he was into falconry, and because he was into falconry, they had all of these different animals in their backyard, and they lived right inside the city limits. And I had heard my other secretary joke one day that, you know, we have so many, if the city ever found out about this. So I dictate this letter. My name is Bob Johnson. Of course. And it has come to our attention that the number of animals you have on your property is in violation of city ordinance number, you know, 5, 6, 7, 9, 8, or whatever. And you need to remove them or face fine or impound order. Okay? The letter was mailed. They received it. And oh, she was very upset. She was so upset about it. She went to her brother, who's a cop in the city, and says, what about this? And he looks at the letter, and he says, wait a minute. There's no Bob Johnson, who works for animal control. In the city ordinance numbers, they don't even start that way. So she goes home and tells her husband, the narcotics officer. And he thinks one of the buddies at work did it. So he goes into the office and he says, yeah, got this letter from the city, Bob Johnson, saying we had to get rid of our animals. So I took them out and shot them. I shot them all. And they're just looking at him like he's nuts. But his wife continues to be upset, and her poor mother can take it no longer. And finally she tells him, and they called me Jim, so he said, it was Jim. It was Jim Banks. And let me tell you, after that, it was on. I started to get phone calls at the church. From the personals ad that they had placed in the newspaper. But be discreet, it's a church, the ad said. So I, to retaliate, signed him up for Bedwetters Anonymous. Back and forth it went. One day he deputized me in front of the whole congregation. And it kind of ended, he came to a birthday party that we had had, and he had a prank for me there. And the reason I tell you this story is because of what he said. He said, you know, he said, I looked you up. He said, there was nothing on you. I could not find anything. No record, zip, nothing. I had to go to your sister. And that raises this question. Those who are closest to you, who know you, what would they say about you and Jesus? If those who know you best were to spill the goods on you, it's the old question. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Is your life moving in His direction? Or does it just continue in yours? Who do you say that he is? Is he the best thing that has ever happened to you? Is he your peace when you lie awake and worry in the middle of the night? Are you able to turn to Him and find peace? Is He your strength when it seems like everything else is falling apart? Is He the one who gets you when no one else understands, no matter how hard you have tried to be understood. Is he even becoming the very reason that you live? The things that you do, the ideas that you have, your plans for the future, in the deepest place. Think about Peter again. Peter made this confession, and then the devil tried, to twist him in every direction. And on another occasion, Jesus said, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, Peter, but I have prayed for you. Do you know that? That even in your sinfulness and weakness, you're loved. Because that's really who you are to him. Precious. He made you, every strand of your DNA. Your ultimate identity isn't found in what the world says you are. Right? It's found in him. The one who loves you more than life. So much that he would endure the pain of the cross, the scorn, the beating, the mutilation, intentionally go through that, so that he could bring you and me home to him. So that you and I wouldn't have to suffer the consequences of our worst selves. Do you know him as the one who has saved you from all of that? Saved you from darkness. Do you believe that? I know sometimes we have trouble believing it because our adversary will not let us alone. Which is why we have to turn to Jesus and run to him. Remember, Peter the rock, just a few verses later, becomes Peter the stumbling block. But Jesus never left him. Never left him. And he won't leave us either. We just have to keep walking, keep going, keep following. He didn't know Peter all there was to know about Jesus. But he knew him. He knew him. And that was enough. May we pray. It's not just words. It's not just imagination. He is real. And his spirit is here now. And he longs to bring you and me into life, new life, more life with him. And there is nothing better than knowing him. So again, gently, I would ask you, who do you say? Who do you say that he is? And as you ponder that, again, just remember, he really does love you. He really is that good. And you can spend the rest of your life discovering that, and you'll never come to the end of it. And to receive it for the first time, our part, what we need to do is just do what some people go their whole lives without doing, and that is saying, I was wrong. That is saying, I've messed up. I've sinned. And I ask you to forgive me. All the way for everything I've ever done. Forgive me. And help me to live for you, with you, in you, through you. Help me, Jesus, just to know you. He is so good. If you pray that, he will come to you. Jesus said, even now, that he would make his home with us through his Spirit, that he and the Father would come to us. And he keeps his word. Sometimes it takes a while for us to recognize that, but it's true, it's real, he does. Jesus, thank you. Abba, Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for these truths that absolutely transform us and save us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.